Finally, for the first time, I actually waited for the lady to say that before I start talking. But so these co-builds are like really more like casual co-builds. So we always have something. We have like a template or a focus, and we're just gonna like kind of go through it and talk about it and even test it out. So you can download it, you can check it out and see how it is. And usually, or not usually, but always, we're going to have someone who actually uses that specific template so that you can ask questions and kind of like compare notes. And the Dream Diary, I know that Maren, you've been using this one like a long time, or like for a few months at least. Hi, Nicole. Welcome, welcome. Yeah, I was just saying that the co-builds are quite like a relaxed kind of chill session where we share a template, we talk about it, we look at it, kind of like the basics and like how it's structured. So even if the template itself or the topic is not something that you necessarily would be using day in, day out, there's always something that you can kind of learn from each one. So for example, this one is like, obviously, because it's dream analysis, so it has like quite an interesting dynamic to it, because it has like different lenses that it analyzes the dreams through and all of these things. And I don't even know how much you use it and how much you've actually changed it. So I'm really curious to hear a bit more about what you have. Let me share my screen first, so I'll just show you what we have so everyone has like access to the thing. So I shared this one. I'll share it again because I don't know if Nicole, you can see like past messages. I don't think you can. So here you can again download like a zip file with I need to do full screen because I need to show you this other Obsidian file as well. So you can download it here. It will give you a few different files. So it will give you the analysis reference. So this is like the kind of like the content of it, like how, what is the framework, what is the structure that it refers to. So the analysis part. And like we talked about yesterday, like the beautiful part that everything here is a text file is that you can actually just see this. So if you, for example, don't want this, you're like, I don't want to have anything Jungian here. You just literally delete it and then it doesn't have it. Like it's so easy to adjust and edit all of these. And then you have the Dream Diary. So this is like the protocol side, so the activity action side of things. So how does it actually go through the process of logging the dream? What does it do to it? Where does it save it? When if you want to go deeper, like this is how you can do it. And again, everything here is editable. So anything, if you don't want to have symbols, you just delete it. And you don't even need to necessarily look at the files themselves. You can also talk to Claude when you've given it the files and just ask like, hey, what is this and how does it work? So you don't necessarily need to go and read all of these here. I'm sure actually, Maren, that you can go. I can see that you're drawn to the baby, I assume. But it's like all of these things, like symbol libraries, etc., etc. This is a log specifically. So for dreams, for example, you can have like a separate log that you create where it logs everything. So where, if you would have this, for example, in your morning protocol as a step, it would just say that log it in here in this file. And then this file becomes the home of the dream log. And then if you want to analyze your dreams, and this is something I'm really curious to hear from you, Maren, like if you've done like analysis over time to see how your dreams work and how you use it. But that does the kind of like actual saving of whatever it is. And again, as you can see, it has like very specific templates of like how to capture it, how to capture something that's deeper, how to mention it in a weekly or monthly review, etc. So these are all things that you don't need to now like from scratch, type in or figure out like how does it save it. They are all here. The analysis, the the way that it works or the steps, if that makes sense, and then the actual saving and the log of them. And then there's the setup guide. So when you give these for to Claude or to Claude Code, it will read through this and then it will know how to use all of these. So you don't need to tell it. It will just read through the setup guide and it will add all of the necessary folders there. But yeah, so you will have all of these here. And if you just download the Dream Diary, you can grab them. But now I will stop sharing. And yeah, no worries. No need to have the camera on at all. But yeah, I'm really curious to hear Maren. Like, first of all, like you've been using it for a few months now. Like, how has it been? And I'm always curious about like if and how you've kind of like changed either the way that you interact with it or the actual, analysis side. Because obviously these were just kind of like initial analysis tools that we put there. But yeah, really curious to hear more about how you're using.
Yeah, so I actually got some data. I asked my Claude today how many dreams I actually analyzed so far. I mean, obviously this is since February, so it's been 4 months, spanning late pregnancy and through postpartum. I have 46 nights of dreams logged and analyzed 90 plus individual dream segments because many nights had three or four different dreams. So dreams that don't belong together but happened in the same night. I have 80 plus personal symbols built in the library, each with my specific meaning, not a generic dictionary definition, and then 25 plus recurring themes actively tracked across time. So really cool to see it like with the numbers because I was like, I actually have no idea how many because I feel like I've analyzed a lot of dreams so far. Obviously like some days I don't remember my dreams, or some days I just, yeah, don't manage to record them because this is what I do right after waking up. I record them. Otherwise, I will lose what I dreamt about very likely. So I need to
How
do it
do you
straight
record?
away.
How do you record them? Do you like use an actual recorder and then you transcribe it, or what's
Yeah,
the that you?
I just talk into my notes, like on my iPhone, like the notes, iPhone notes. with a dictation, and I just speak what I dreamt about. It has no like structure, or it's nothing like properly structured. And then while I do my morning check-in, so when I start Claude, it always asks me for the four languages check-in, right? And then I just like put the transcript into there. And I don't change anything, and it analyzes the dream based on that. I feel like it works also better if you actually speak into your phone and you document your dream like that because it's more unfiltered than if you write it down. Because I feel like when you write something down, you think more how to phrase something and you leave out some details. And when you speak, it's faster and easier, and you have more details. And yeah, it gave me like a few standout things, and I wanted to tell you about one which I found really interesting. So it gave me like a few arcs. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. There was one about Tony Robbins. So I'm a big Tony Robbins fan, for those of you who don't know. And this was one arc that Claude pointed out when I did the overview. So he said, or it said that yeah, there was a clear arc from February to now. So Tony Robbins started as an unreachable mentor she was projecting onto. By June, he was family and she was giving him advice. Three dreams, 4 months, full integration of the mentor quality from out there to mine. So I think this is a cool example for someone who's considering to work with this. So over the 4 months, I had, yeah, I think three dreams where Tony Robbins appeared in very different roles, and it's super cool to see the analysis over time and not only like the single dream. Okay, now I dreamt that, but to really see the journey. And then obviously there were really intense postpartum dreams, which were really interesting to analyze as well. And then I also had synchronicities. So I dreamt about a colleague of mine who's in my team. at one of my clients that he was leaving, like in the dream, I think he was fired. And he actually left the team a few months later, which was absolutely crazy. So yeah, the analysis or overview I did said the psyche processed his departure before waking life confirmed it. When the news arrived, it landed as recognition, not surprise. So yeah, just to give you like examples of what analyzing your dreams, like how cool it is. I love it. I absolutely loved it. I did actually analyze my dreams before I had my Claude system, but it was very different. It wasn't using frameworks. It was just basically repeating what I told it, and I didn't really like the analysis that much. So when Maria and me set up the system, this is what I told her, and I was like, I already analyzed my dreams, but I don't feel like it follows like a certain structure, and it's not really like a profound analysis. So that with the frameworks that are in the template, this is really nice because it gives me those different angles from where it analyzes the dream. As I said, I always get reflection questions that I like a lot. And yeah, it's obviously super cool to have all of this over time and to be like, because obviously you dream about the same things or the same people sometimes, and then they appear in different roles or in different situations, as the Tony Robbins example. So yeah, it's really cool.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. You said that you have what, 80 plus like personal symbols? What are the personal symbols? I don't really analyze my dreams, so I'm really like curious to hear how like all of these kind of like work together and how do you use them?
Yeah, so with the symbols, if I understand it correctly, so sometimes when I put my dream in there, like the transcript from my re recording, it sometimes asks me things back. Like, for example, I dreamt about blue shoes the other day. Someone gifted me blue shoes. So it asked me, what is your association with blue? And then I tell, okay, this is what I associate with blue, and it adds it as a personal symbol. And then obviously sometimes, yeah, they repeat. For example, also I'm very scared of crocodiles, so I dreamt about crocodiles a few times, and then it knows the symbol because it knows my association with it. And once there's a new symbol, it always asks, what is your relationship with that person or that yeah, that color, or how do you feel about whatever it is that appears in the dream.
That's super interesting. That's so like, because it's
Yeah.
all again like you can always edit it. Like it doesn't, and this is like the way that the whole system. This is actually one of the only tools or prompts or whatever you want to call them, where you do get some kind of analysis. Because the full system is very deeply trained to never analyze or kind of like give opinions. So everything is always just like mirroring back. So in here, it's really interesting because, and the way that it writes it is obviously like she dreamt of XYZ. And if you run through it, you can also check it and you can correct it if it doesn't align. That's the part that I actually really like, especially with memories, which relates to obviously dreams as well, is like you can see how it analyzes or how it interprets something. How it records it, and that's how you can like keep adjusting it and editing it, and it gets to know you better. But yeah, that's really cool. 90 individual dream segments. That's so crazy. Like that's a lot of dreams put in there. Do you still host your dreams? I know that the privacy question is always something that people think of. You have them in your local log, right? Or have you put them in Supabase, like in a database, or it's just on your local device, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. So in that case, if you're on pro plan, which you are, I think, then it remains in the servers. Only the part that you share with Claude. So only that part stays on Anthropic servers for 30 days, and then it gets removed. So they don't have access to your actual files or your logs, for example. So if you were to record a dream today and you don't refer back to that dream, it wouldn't stay on the servers for more than 30 days, which is just like an interesting thing when you compare it to, for example, using chat where you store it in Anthropic servers where it stays forever and it's there. So it's a bit different in that sense as well. You kind of like building this like local library of your own own self or own interpretations, whatever it is. But yeah, it's really interesting to hear. Does anyone else, and you can also like do and write in the chat or unmute, do you analyze your dreams or do you work with your dreams? Or is this something that you haven't yet started doing? I have to say that having heard Maren talk about it, I'm now starting to get like really, really curious about actually doing it. Because you also mentioned that it's helped you remember them better, right? Yeah, not yet.
Yeah, and I even started having like, how do you call this again? When you have an awareness in the dream. So I started dreaming in my dream that, for example, with the Tony, let me take the Tony Robbins example. So I had one dream where I told Tony Robbins that I want to work for him because, yeah, this is obviously my dream. One day in whatever format to work with him. And then the later dreams where he appeared, I wanted to tell him that I dreamt about it. I didn't end up doing it because the situation didn't happen. But so, yeah, this is really cool because in the dream, I had the awareness of, hey, I actually dreamt of telling you that I want to work for you. And yeah, I think this is quite cool. And I don't think it would have happened if I would not analyze my dreams or work with my dreams the way that I do. So there was definitely the awareness of this was a dream inside of another dream.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I think like I haven't gone really deep into like the dream analysis side, and obviously there are a lot of books and like material that you can use as well. And one of the things that you can do, which is the same I mentioned yesterday about the kind of like period tracking, is if you own a book, for example, for yourself, if you've purchased a book about dreaming, you can feed it to Claude and you can actually have it analyze and create a framework based on it. So, anything that you have and own, again, this is the legal way, but anything you have and you own, you can train your system on. So if you own something that you want to use as a filter or lens, for example, is something that you can feed to the AI and have it use it in the analysis or in the tools that you build. Yeah, lucid dreaming. Yeah, I think it's something that you can learn. Like there's ways to teach it and learn it yourself. I plus one, Nicole, like I just had the worst nightmare night just last night. Those of you who know, I'm in the middle of like a weird legal-ish situation with my landlord. And now it finally seems to be coming to an end. But yeah, definitely it doesn't make for the nicest dreams. But I do wonder what would happen if you just started like recording all of them, and like what would you start seeing? Especially are they like if they're recurring dreams, right? But yeah, I do think that if you start recording them, you probably will remember them more than if you don't, maybe. Who knows? Subconscious is so crazy. Or maybe they stick there because you don't let them out. Who knows?
can I ask a question? I mean, I think maybe it's related to this, but because of the privacy discussion, what you just brought up about like storing your dreams is very personal. I have recurring tornado dreams, by the way, ever since I watched Wizard of Oz as a child, so I blame Dorothy and the Wicked Witch of the West. but I was thinking like health or tracking my like moods, or like you mentioned, use it for your cycle. Do a lot of people, or do you have things like this for maybe tracking, like, okay, when I eat this way or I drink this way or these things happen, like starting to notice how it affects my well-being or my health markers, things like that.
100%. We actually have a session for nutrition, like food diary or food planning, like meal planning. I think I put it on, maybe it was like a few weeks from now. I use it to both plan for things, but I love what like Maren was just explaining, which is the analysis part, because obviously, like it's really hard to tell when you're living day to day in your life, like what is actually happening. And one thing about the cycle, actually, which was really interesting, I did a kind of like an analysis cycle of all of the cycles, and because I always log the four, so I log the mind, the heart, the body, and the soul, it always relates to those. So I asked, like, what can you tell me about my cycle based on these? I think it was 3 or 4 months at that time. And one really interesting thing that came, because I had trained it on some books about, like, cycle awareness and how it works. And apparently, my cycle, my mood, and my productivity are not aligned at all in the way that they are spoken of. Like, I'm actually super productive when I'm supposed to be at the lowest. But like I would have never really known that if I wasn't analyzing it all together. And it was really interesting because then I started going into it and I started looking at like what those days actually in like contained. And it wasn't necessarily, so I don't know. And this is still something that I'm kind of like consciously testing out to see how much it impacts or what is the cause and what is the, result of whatever stupid decisions I make. But it's like I don't think I time things very well in accordance to my cycle. So it's not like I'm super productive maybe at that time, but I just have this tendency of like timing big pushes to the absolute worst time of my cycle. So of course I'm productive because I have to get shit done. It's not necessarily that my body is like full of energy, but it's like I created circumstances where I have to. And all of these things, like you wouldn't really notice, like I don't think, or it would be very difficult to like notice all these things together if you weren't tracking them all together. And because it's a local file, obviously, like it just analyzes it when you ask it to analyze that specific place. So that's one of the parts that I really like about doing it here, because any app or if you're using like more generic like chat or projects or whatever, you have to store it in their servers, which I personally don't like it. I personally don't like storing in any AI provider's servers. I'd rather, that's why I use Supabase a lot for myself, which is just a database service, because again they actually have like they have absolutely everything, like in terms of security, data protection, because that's all they do. I don't know, Maren, like has that impacted you to notice like the privacy angle, because we've talked about this a lot. I think I love, by the way, that in these conversations we always talk about the privacy stuff, because it's just not very commonly talked about, I think. And it's so deeply important when you are sharing all of these parts of yourself. And I think like with apps, if I think about like my cycle data, for example, one of the reasons that I wanted to bring it out was that I found out that the app I was using was selling my data to, I don't remember who it was. And I was like, I just don't like this.
Which one was it?
I don't remember. I started using something else after. I think Clue doesn't, but there was the other one that does. I don't remember.
Flow, flow, flow.
Yeah, or one of them. And I remember.
FLO.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't really want to, like, any of the things I don't want my data to be sold for, I usually tend to bring here because at least it stays in a very controlled space. And unless I give access to Claude in a specific time, and even then, you can actually, if you are working with something super, super, super personal that you wanted to keep on the servers for the shortest amount of time, you could just use API billing for that one. Because in the API terms, you have 7 day retention, and that's just for legal reasons. So if you have something that's like really sensitive, you want to minimize the time that it gets safe and saved anywhere, you can just use API billing for that. But yeah, these are more like the technical side of things. But yeah, you don't really have these kinds of options with apps, for example. I mean, no one asks you like, "Ooh, how many days do you want my data to be saved in the cloud?" It's just
This
like
is
for.
actually what, yeah, this is actually what most people I think aren't that aware of when it comes to apps. I did a whole research on this during my studies on those tracking like cycle tracking apps. Because yeah, I did a case study actually on Clue and Flow. That's why I know those apps quite well. Because they were criticized for basically sharing the data. Until they had some changes. But yeah, I always liked how you explained that, Maria, in the beginning, from when we set up the system, that it's really like most things live on my computer. That's the first thing. And then, as you said, you can always decide in a way how much you want to share. And I was just thinking what you said with the API 7 day thing. Sorry, I can't explain it as technical as you can, but I'm just thinking, even for the dream analysis, this could also be an option you can choose, right? If you don't want the dreams to be stored for, like I did it now with the overview over the months, that could also be an option to say, I just want to analyze it on the day because I find it interesting. And then after a few days, like everything is gonna be gone. That could also be a good option.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have it on your, you have more control over like what gets accessed by whom and where, for sure, which is really, really nice for these kinds of things. And also you can anonymize things. And if you push to Git, for example, you can exclude parts of your system, so you don't need to push everything to GitHub. So there are quite a few ways that you can really just like make sure that you're sharing as much as you want. Obviously, it needs to be, I mean, if you're using AI for it, so if you're using Claude to do something, it needs to go somewhere to be done, whatever it needs to be done to. But then, like, how long it stays there is up to you, which is really, really interesting. And there's also like, I'm just thinking like from the more technical terms, there's always like the push and the pull of data, right? So if you, for example, have it in Supabase, you can also just have it like push the data there. It doesn't actually read the whole table. But these are more like the technical side of things that you can also do. And I think it's really important, especially when you're using AI for something quite personal, especially if you're mentioning names. I don't know if you would be mentioning like full names or like personal data or something, but to just at least be aware of like what's happening to it and also be able to, you know, wipe it if you want to. Which is really interesting. Have you touched on the like ways to analyze or the different kind of like lenses of the analysis or kind of like modified the way that it does it on your system? Or have you used the one? Yeah, you've been using the way that it does. Because it also kind of like it does change over time slightly when it learns more about you, doesn't it? It gets better at giving you the things that you like to focus on because it's potentially editing, most likely it's editing the memory files and the ways of working rather than the.
Yeah. And it also like has the previous dreams, right, that it builds on. So when there's stuff that's repeating or yeah, something like that's similar, it's like, oh, you dreamt about this before or whatever. So yeah. So it's a different ground.
Yeah. And the thing that you asked, which I didn't build for today, but like I think you asked if you could visualize the dreams also with AI. And you can actually do that even with Claude Code. You can do it with the Gemini API, for example, or any other, obviously any other image generation API. I used to do that in one of the chats. Oh my God, that was like 1.5 years ago probably, where there was like an abstract painting being created based on the answers. But yeah, you could also do that. So you could have it on the dashboard, for example, like this was the vibe off today based on the dream. But obviously you have to pay for the token, so it's not free, but it's also possible to do that kind of analysis. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna add that in. You just need to get Gemini API sign in and login, but it's already in some of the other elements of the system, so it's already like programmed in. It's not very difficult to set up at all. But yeah, that's really cool. What are the other things that come to mind if you think about like, so this is analyzing dreams. So there's the kind of analysis framework. There's the steps that it takes. So like it gets the dream, it names it in certain ways, or it categorizes it. It shares an interpretation, or it shares questions, da 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 da. And then it logs it. So then there's the saving kind of like folder where it saves it. Just thinking about like that logic, I mean, there are so many different things that you could use it for, right? Anything that comes to mind to any of you, like you would like to build, or anything that this has inspired you to create potentially that might use the same framework? Because you'll be able to do that also. If you give the files, you can just say like, hey, create based on these files that we have, create this similar type of interaction or tool, or conversation, whatever you want to call it, for XYZ, whatever the other topic might be. It's very similar to the way I use it for the tarot readings, because I have my own like tarot framework that I use, so that has access to the analysis and the way that it works all together. But I'm really curious to hear if anything else comes to mind.
I had an idea, but I don't know yet what it could look like. But I really want to build something with regards to my vision. So, you know, this thing that Joe Dispenza always says that you can't basically differentiate between something you envision in the future, like whether that's really reality or not. And yeah, I think it's really easy in day-to-day life to be. To focus on what is currently around you and then to not focus on your vision or where you want to go. And now, be before my, she's talking a lot. Before Zuri was here, I was meditating every morning, but now obviously my schedule has changed a bit. So I was thinking to, and in my meditations, I would do the visualization. So I was thinking to build something that, I don't know like what it could look like, but basically that has to do with vision and future visioning and staying anchored in that. I don't know if it makes sense.
Yeah, so to help you kind of like envision, or would that be something that you would like to do daily? Like it reminds me of like what's it called? Future. Oh God, there's an NLP technique. Future. No, I'm just thinking about future proofing, but that's definitely not the name of it. Future pacing. Future pacing. There is an exercise called future pacing in NLP, where you essentially go into a time in the future, you visualize it super clearly, and then you come back each step like back and up to the present, or until the present. And yeah, you just like visualize the steps specifically as long as it takes, and you keep doing that until it becomes like a natural course of things to come. Maybe it's actually that in a way, like even if you did that once, if you think about it with like the actual exercise, we could do that on a call, by the way. We could do the future pacing exercise. I found it really weirdly. I'm not like a manifesting type person per se, even though I do believe in it, but I don't work with it very actively. But I remember that the future pacing exercise itself was very useful. We could do that, and maybe we could record it, give it to Claude, and then it could actually give you the steps so that you could somehow work through them. I'm not even sure how that would work potentially, like in practice, but maybe you could just like remind yourself at least of the steps. And at the very least, log it somewhere so that when you do hit those steps, it would be easier for you to see the journey there. Really interesting.
That's actually, I was kind of thinking about when you said you like Tony Robbins, for example, but I have some like books or authors that have like frameworks already that I like that maybe I would like help applying or, but those are like in books. Can you like upload an entire book? Or is that, I mean, that's copyrighted information, obviously, but I bought the book, but. It, like, how do you, or do you have to like rewrite it or restate it yourself, create your own custom version of it?
Yeah, my husband wrote about this because it's something that Anthropic had a bit of a pickle. What was it? Ergo, they went into a bit of a pickle. So the only issue that they had was that they pirated them first and they trained it on pirated books. And then they tried to buy them after. But if you bought it, if you've paid for it, if you own the book and you're using it for yourself, then it's not an infringement of copyright in any way. If you were to, buy Tony Robbins' book, put it on your AI, sell it with the exact same framework to others, then you'd be obviously like stepping into a different area. But if you're just using it for yourself and you've bought it, you are fully entitled to use it. Like it's not infringing anything. The only thing where it might be is if you start selling the exact framework. So for example, what I saw a lot when I was working with Chip was that people would, create their nano not nano habits. That's another company's what's it called? The James
Comic
Clear.
habits?
Yeah, atomic habits. So like they would create their atomic habits, AIs, and they would sell those, but they would call it the same and everything would be named the same. So that's like on a I would say like dark gray area. But if you're using it for yourself, it's fine and you're not charging for it. I mean, you own the information. It's yours to use. I tried to do it once with because I have audiobooks, which makes it harder to, feed it because you really can't. Yeah, e-reader version would work much, much better. Yeah, you could photograph every page. I mean, I guess you could just like scan it or photograph. Also, it doesn't say it per se, but I mean, it's been trained on a lot of books, so it probably has the book that you have, most likely. But one thing I do have to say is that whatever you train your root system yourself, so whatever you give it as a file, as an empty file, as a JSON, as whatever you give it, it will stick to it much better than if you ask it to fetch that information from its own head. So whenever you use like the generic thinking of the AI, it tends to hallucinate a lot more. Whereas if you give it something, so if you, for example, were to give the e-reader version to Anthropic or to your Claude, it might actually push back a bit. It might be like, I don't do pirated books because it's been trained to not do that. But you can just say, this is a book that I purchased, or you can just copy paste the text. It doesn't really matter. There are a million ways to get around it. It's more of a question of values, and if you own it, you are fully legally entitled to use it for your own work. But I think it's a really good way to use it as well, because it's like there are so many frameworks that you have lying around, and I'm sure we all have a lot of books, and whether it's audiobooks or whatever it might be, that we're just not using or accessing, or it's just sitting on a bookshelf somewhere. So this is actually a really nice way to just integrate it. You could just integrate it even for a week or a month, like in your morning ritual or whatever evening, and just have it do it or run you through it for whatever amount of time. And at least it would be put into practice somehow. So Sophie's asking, how do I use the file I downloaded now in Claude Code? Do I copy it in my system? Is that a PDF? I assume it's a PDF or
No,
something.
I mean the file that I downloaded with your link, the zip file. What do I do with the file now?
Let's do this. Let's do this. I shall show you. So one of the easiest ways, let me get a
You're
fresh
talking about the
term.
Dream Diary selfie?
Yeah. Like
That
the
one.
one that Maria sent the link to on the website. Yeah. Yes, let me share my screen. And I have to share the full screen. This is always scary because you never know what's here on my screen. So let's start from the beginning to do the steps. Oh no, I can never grab this. Why does it not move? The videos. So first of all, you need to, if you want to use it in your own system, then you usually need to go to your own system. So my system, for example, remember from yesterday, so it's CD and then the name of your system. So mine is Maria for languages system. It could also be shorter, so you wouldn't have to type that every time. And then you do Claude, so that Claude comes online. And by the way, they're very scandalous, crazy good model is now out, so you can try it until I think it was June 22nd. You can use it within your usage, and then it will go into extra usage. So the way that you can give it things is you download it. So mine is here, for example. You could even do this. Can you please add this to my system? You just drag it, essentially. Then it will find, it just needs to see the path of where it is. And then it will check what's there. Now it's reading the files that it has, right? So there's the README, no, setup guide. So it's probably reading that one. And then it's reading all the rest. It's telling me what it sees, which is nice. So I know that we're looking at the same thing. I have a sold folder. So it's been every like update or add-on that we have is built as a non-destructive add-on. So it never destroys what's in your system, but it finds what already exists and it checks like where it goes. But you can change all of it, obviously. If I wanted to put this in the hard folder or on my desktop, I don't know, anywhere you can. It's completely in your hands, like what you decide to do with it. But yeah, now I'm essentially installing it here. So mine holds the tarot reimagined one and some other things. And now it's putting it in there. Now it's adding it to my root file. So this is what you create in the onboarding, right? Or in the root file scan. So this is the file where you have everything that it leads. This is the file that it sees first, and this is the map of these are the things that you should use for these things. So it will put a one pointer line into that root file. So it will be able to know where the Dream Diary log and all of the files live in my system, so that when I start recording dreams, it knows where to put them. And it's doing all of this on the back end, or not back end, but like I don't have to, I don't have to do any of this. And this is actually really interesting. I know this is not like the most fun to look at, but like it's adding a line of, I had a dream or a dream is mentioned, then it goes to read this folder. So like I don't need to even be like using a skill with a specific name. Now it will know that if I talk about a dream, it will go and fetch this folder and see what's needed. So that's also how it uses things when it needs them. So this file or these files are not, fetched every single time. It only uses them if there's a reason to use them. So now it's putting it in the system. And now it's checking if this one is going to be put into GitHub or not. This is just because my security rules have very specific steps, like what goes into GitHub and what doesn't, what stays local, what goes where. But yeah, that's how easy it is when you have it all set up, because it knows all the layers, so it just kind of like wires itself on the background.
So
But
this is
yeah.
going to be a stupid question, but because I when I started the original email you sent with the links, and I started and I opened Terminal, and it was like I was like, okay, I freaked out, and I was like, I don't think I want to connect Claude to my terminal. And then I emailed you, and you were,
Yeah.
oh, you're like, actually, you're not giving it like full access to your computer. So, but I didn't have time to go through everything then before yesterday, because I checked it out. So this, you would set up this root system by starting with that in the like curriculum, the mental models, GitHub install guide, Claude Code install guide, like that getting set up. Like I need to follow all the steps in order. And then that would get me this system. I mean, I saw it installed Claude Code, but I haven't really done much else. So
Yeah, and that's all you need to like get started is just like activate Claude Code. The way that it's been built is that when you have like the full repo, so when you download it from GitHub and you just give it access to the file, you know where it is, and you start the way I did, which is CD, whatever the folder is where it is. You can actually just ask it like, okay, let's get started. What's next? And it will actually take you through it. So you don't even need to go to the course per se. It will
Okay.
guide you to the right places in the course if you need to, understand something, or you can also ask it about itself. This is something that is probably a safety feature for Anthropic, but Claude doesn't know anything about itself. So if you ask Claude about Claude, it will not be correct. It will
Oh.
be super out of date. I think it's because they don't want the model to leak details about itself, so they've made it like impossible to ask Claude about Claude. But this system itself, that like the system is trained on itself, so the system knows itself, but Claude doesn't know itself, if that makes sense. So if you need to do something about Claude, you need to actually have it go to the website of Anthropic and fetch what is happening with Claude, which is hilarious in a way, but yeah, it's the way it works. But yeah, you can actually just ask the system itself. So if I go here, for example, I could ask like, can you explain to me how the memory system works. I always, when I use this, especially when I demo it, I'm super vague, and Maren has seen this multiple times, but I am the worst when it comes to typos. Like sometimes my sentences make zero sense, but somehow it always knows what I'm trying to ask. So now again, it asks for permission to do activities. Now it's reading here. You can always see where it's getting it from here, which I really like, because sometimes when you start knowing the system, you can see like if it's in the wrong place. Right here, I know that it's in the right place because this is where the memory files live. So if it was, for example, let's say searching the web, I would know that it's doing the wrong thing, like it's not looking in the right place. So now it's telling me how it works. Yeah, and it even has like the same wording because it's been trained. So it talks about the map and the terrain. So the system itself and the course, they all have like the same wording. And if you wanted to, so this has exactly the same elements as you would see in the Let me share the course so you can see. The course is just like a bit easier to look at sometimes, for especially if you're like trying to learn or grasp a concept, because I know that terminal can be a bit, you get used to it, I have to say. The terminal, you do get used to it. But of course, it's sometimes nicer to look at an interface that's a bit nicer for the human eye. So here, for example, it's here in module 2. It talks about the memory system. It has the same same thing as it does here. And this is actually a fundamental part of the Claude memory system that is also explained here. But yeah, so you can read it here. There are videos that guide you through like all of the smaller parts of it that have come up, but you can always ask the system and it will tell you exactly. And the thing is, like, when you ask it, you can obviously also change it. So if I wanted to remove this from my system, I would just say, like, hey, I don't want to record learnings. Please delete it everywhere. And then it would delete it. And that would just not be included in the system. So it's always malleable. You can do whatever you want with it. You can delete, you can edit, you can, yeah, manage it any way you want. The system that we have or that I've built is not as much a, it's not something you need to force your life into, but it's just so you have a structure to start with that you can then adjust and edit to however you want to use it yourself. Yeah, Maren's asking, is it possible to offer this for clients as a standalone product, like an add-on? Which part? The like a
Yeah, I
an
was
ad
like, not sure if it makes sense what I'm saying. No, I was just thinking it would be really cool to offer this, for example, as like an add-on for my program if someone is into analyzing their dreams, if they work with dreams maybe, or they want to work with dreams, to have just the dream diary as something. I know we talked about this also with the nutrition and exercise plans, because obviously this will be very important for me as well. But I was just thinking that it would be super cool to have, yeah, this option.
Thank you, Nina. I'll see you maybe tomorrow. And yeah, I know it's morning for you as well. I think you and Nicole might be in the same time zone because I think it's like 9 a.m.
7 a.m. So I'm not too sure if I'll be able to join 7 a.m. with a baby. That's a bit brutal, Maria. So we'll see what I can do.
Actually, like, my applause for being here, honestly. Being sick with a baby and 7 a.m. is like it's quite a few hoops, but I hope it was fun.
Yeah,
I'll talk to you
it was
later.
good. Thank you so much. Lovely to see all of you. Bye-bye.
Yes, bye. Yeah, so if you create things, I think we've talked about this. So I wouldn't say to sell the whole system, which is obviously not why you're asking. But yeah, you can definitely create templates and sell the templates. I mean, there are a lot of like template and skill libraries also, marketplaces and all of that stuff that you can, I assume, I don't know, I haven't checked like the command slash like Claude code library specifically how they work, but I assume that you just upload your files and you can sell them. But yeah, these are things that you can definitely also like include in your offerings. A bunch of them, I would say they operate in this system, but you can easily just make them kind of like standalone project templates or whatever you might want to use also as well.
This is probably another stupid question, but I have been using Google Drive for decades. I don't know, for as long as it's been around. And I have a lot of like notes, documents, and things in there. Can this reference Google Drive files or Google Docs?
Yeah, you can. So you can connect to Google. If you're using the app, I think you can connect directly from the connectors, or you can use an MCP. The only thing that I would maybe like look at if you're doing that is making sure that you're intentionally like deciding where it connects and when. Just if you have like decades of stuff there, it's probably it has a lot of stuff. So just so you're not like loading all of it in there, but yeah, you can definitely do that. It's always faster or like more fluent with data that's been somehow like added into the system itself, but not everything needs to necessarily live in the system. But if it's okay for you to kind of like have it go there and fetch it, then you can have it there. You can also use Notion or whatever other platforms you might have.
Everything was in like the same folder. I could potentially download that and then put it in the system. And that, like, it just depends. Like, some of my stuff is organized, some of it isn't. But okay.
Yeah.
All right.
What I would recommend is like usually when you start building this is the perfect time to also kind of like audit what you have to make sure that you're kind of like letting go of the stuff that's not maybe super up to date. Because the more stuff you have in the system or if fetches that isn't like 100% accurate, the more random it will start becoming. So when you start like, and this is what we do this week and next week as well, and well, all of the weeks, upcoming weeks really, is like we're using these memory folder or memory layer, for example, as an excuse to feed it information. So it will start like analyzing it and putting it in the right places so it can use it as efficiently as possible and when needed, right? But you can also just like connect to Drive and be like searching for things in the drive, so that's completely possible as well. But cool.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So tomorrow we're going to be jumping into that a bit more. How do you feed it stuff, and how does it go where it needs to go? And then we're going to visualize it with the about page as well. Amazing. Good night, Sophie. I know it's late for you. For us, the rest of us, it's like morning slash I think it's like midday for you, Maren.
Afternoon, yeah.
Yeah, but cool. I'll see you tomorrow. And any questions you have,
Thank you. All
super.
right. Bye,
Thank
Katie.
you so much, Mara, for sharing. I
Yeah.
think I have to start doing this now.
Is really good.
Yeah. Amazing. I'll see you soon. Bye.
See you tomorrow. Bye bye.